I'll just keep you on the edge of your seats for just a minute. Pretty soon, Sharon's going to be pointing at me and saying, do something. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, the final book of the Bible, the New Testament. I've always enjoyed the book of Revelation. Every church I've ever been in, I've taught it, I've preached it, and enjoy every time I read it. But there's something I want to challenge you with this morning out of this book. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That's all we're going to read out of chapter 1. Find chapter 22 briefly. Find your place. Just skim across the chapters to chapter 22. I'm listening to see if anybody's turning. I can't hear Joy turn. Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You might want to mark that and hold on to that briefly. And then flip back two pages to chapter 19. I have favorite passages. I know you do. Favorite sections, favorite verses at all. This verse, passage I'm going to read you, is probably my favorite in the book of Revelation. And that's hard when you think of 21 and 22. But Revelation 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Don't bother turning anymore, but I'm going to read another verse or two. Just have your ears on this morning. Revelation 2:8. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Then in chapter 3 and verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." One more. I got a message. It's Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." What I wanted to impress upon you this morning is these descriptive names of Jesus that we find in these several passages. The names of the Lord are found throughout the entire Bible. Without question, I think we've done a Sunday school study on the names of God. They're the compound names of God in the Old Testament. There are many names applied to the Lord Jesus Christ found in the New and in the Old Testament. But I wanted to turn your attention to these names that are connected basically by that little conjunction or that little word "and." And the first one was Alpha and Omega. Alpha, Omega. When Pastor Rizzo designed the platform, I assume it was the one that did it. First letter of the Greek alphabet. You say, that's the first letter of the English alphabet. They look a lot, don't they? That's Alpha. That's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. That's Omega. Doesn't quite look like a Z, but it's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And of course, the Koine Greek language was the written language of that day. I know there was Latin, I know there was Hebrew, I know there's Aramaic, but the Greek language, the Koine Greek, was the common written communication. "I am Alpha and Omega." But he also said, "I'm the beginning and the ending." Well, you could infer that from the first and last two letters of the alphabet. The beginning, the ending of the alphabet. We would say from A to Z, if we were speaking modern and comparing to the English alphabet. But not only that, he said in verse 11, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." So, beginning and ending, first and the last, Alpha and Omega. Then when I read your Revelation 22, it had all three. So, we see it in the passages that we read, the description of the Lord Jesus Christ as beginning and ending, as first and last. In Revelation 19, we saw Him as faithful and true. In Revelation 19, we saw him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Hebrews 12, he's the author and finisher of our faith. That's not exhaustive. You say, well, I know of some more. Yeah, I do too. We didn't exhaust it. But I wanted to give you enough to chew on a little bit. To consider. To think about. As I give you a few thoughts this morning. That's entitled, Jesus is Everything. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and to worship as we have done in song and prayer and giving, and to be in attendance to the reading and hearing of your text. And we have considered a handful, an assortment of verses and passages, but they all point to the one subject, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we want to just be reminded this morning of the spiritual truth that Jesus is everything. Help me in that and help us in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, outline's a little bit different. I usually go in alliteration or some type of memory rhythm, and it's not able to do that this morning. Jesus is everything concerning time. Concerning time. When you read the book of Hebrews, as I just read, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you read Hebrews 13, you'll hear Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. When you go to the Old Testament and read some of the prophecies of Christ, one of them has to do with his birthplace in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And it speaks about the birthplace being Bethlehem Ephratah. And it talks about Jesus, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. In other words, Jesus is timeless and timely. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But in the beginning, and I say this every time when I refer to Genesis 1. What is Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. You say, well, I'd like for that to be explained. Yeah, I would too. The point of it is, God gives us no explanation about that. The Bible gives us no scholastic, academic explanation concerning that. It takes the situation for granted. It assumes the reality of what already is. In the beginning, God. So when time began its calculation, you understand when you get to eternity, you're not going to measure time. Oh, 10,000 years. You're not going to measure time. One reason is there's no night there. Book of Revelation. So how are you going to, you got a hourglass? You got a solar? Well, you don't need a solar because there ain't going to be no sun. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, is the light there and the lamp thereof. We're not going to measure time in eternity. Those that have been there. Once we get there, we'll be there. And it will be an endless continuum of unmeasured time. You say, I don't understand that. Hello? I don't either. My brain has never been mathematically sized. It's never been intellectually sized. I cannot figure out a calculation that will measure that. But just as there is an eternity in future, for us as saved, for us as Christians, an eternity in the presence of God, forever and forever and forever, there was an eternity past before Genesis 1:1. You say, I don't understand that. That's the whole point. But when Genesis 1:1 was penned to record the creative act of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ and God were already in existence and had been for all eternity. You see, Jesus is everything when it comes to time. And isn't it amazing that we still measure our time in relation to Jesus? What year is it? 2024. What's the two letters that come after that? Boy, you're not listening.
C-E.
Well, A-D or C-E.
C-E. Common era.
So, we measure our time prior, well, you say B.C., before His coming, before Christ, and then A.D., Anno Domini, but C.E., the common era. We measure our time in light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He is everything when it comes to time, because He's timeless, because He is eternal. So keep that in mind. Now I'm gonna pick up speed, okay? Everybody said amen. I've already referred to this, but He's everything concerning creation. In Colossians 1, now Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. We got that. But in Colossians 1:1, it says, by Him were all things created. By who? By the Lord Jesus Christ. It also says, all things were created by Him and for Him. You know, created by the hand of the Lord Jesus for His glory. And that's what creation was done for the glory of God. And Jesus is everything when it comes to creation. I know the Spirit of God was there. I know Elohim God was there in Genesis 1:1. I got that. That's the strong one, Elohim. But it also has a plural verb, so you got to realize that. But then when the creative act for man, what did God say? Let us make man in our image. So Jesus was there. He was a part of, he was part, parcel, and completion of creation. He's everything about the subject of creation. All things were created by Him. All things were created for Him. So that means He's everything. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the ending. All things, everything, I'll get it right in a minute. He is everything about inspiration. Inspiration. Jesus talking to the disciples not long before His arrest. And He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. They've been recorded for us in the pages of this book, but they've been recorded in the pages of eternity, inspired by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The words of the Lord Jesus. I remember one lady commenting, and preacher was talking to her, and he said, this Bible is the words of Jesus. She said, I know, and the ones in red, they're the words of Jesus. All of the Bible are the words of Jesus. You say, well, what about the distinction between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? You got to recall the creative act. You've got to recall the subject of the Godhead. And you got to recall of that. So put all that together. So Jesus is everything concerning inspiration. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But back in Revelation chapter 1, where I read just a minute ago, John sees the Son of Man, and he had in His right hand seven stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. So that's an odd-looking appearance, a two-edged sword coming out of His mouth. Not when you realize where do words proceed from? From your lips. Yes, there is a genuine sword, but the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But I read you Revelation 19 and verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Then in verse 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. You know how Jesus does everything? By his word. It's illustrated by a sword. It's illustrated by a hand. It's illustrated by the right hand of God and the mind of God and the ear of God, all of that. But it's all done by his word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible is His Word, because Jesus is everything when it comes down to inspiration. He's everything concerning communication. This sort of ties in, sort of goes together. Communication. God has communicated to us. Now granted, in Abraham's day, he spoke to Abraham. In Moses' day, he spoke to Moses. In the prophet's day, he would appear in a vision and he would communicate a message. John got to see some things on the island of Patmos, but when John put Amen down at the end of Revelation 22 and laid the quill down, God's done speaking. As far as record is concerned, God's still able to speak through the Holy Spirit, but the record of communication is this Bible. You sit around waiting for God to tell you something, you're going to sit on your hands the rest of your spiritual life waiting for God to audibly tell you something. He's got a whole book full he wants to tell you. It's your responsibility to listen to it. Ooh. I don't see anybody smiling, nodding, shaking their head, saying amen. I thought that was a good spot for amen. That's right. But there are people who are waiting for or who have testified. God spoke to me and Constantine saw and this sign conquer. Listen, we've got a book that God has written for us. Jesus is everything concerning inspiration. And this is what he wants to communicate to us. It's why we have Sunday school. It's why we have church. It's why we have missions conference, Bible conferences, revival services. Oh, by the way, Fellowship Bible Church is having Bible conference this week with Brother Pat Bolden. Today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now, Wednesday you're busy because you're here. But if you like to go Monday or Tuesday, I think Pat's preaching tomorrow. I think his son preaching? Adam, his son, okay. Son-in-law, yeah. So if you have the opportunity Monday or Tuesday, he told me, he said, I really want you to go hear my son-in-law. He's a preaching machine. And so, but it's what we're communicating, the Word of God. Because Jesus is everything when it comes to communication. He's everything when it comes to salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I don't know how much clearer you can make it. I mean, that is made clear enough so that an elementary school child can grasp it. You say, why is it so simple? So that people could understand it, and yet it's so simple that adults can't get it. Salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and there's no and. There's no salvation in Christ and baptism. There's no salvation in Christ and church membership. Now, there's supposed to be salvation in Christ and good works, but those good works don't contribute to your salvation. There is no salvation and living a good life. Well, there should be a good life after you're saved, but that don't contribute to your salvation. Jesus Christ and Him alone. In John 10, He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And then what did He say in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's it's as clear as day. If you miss it, you miss it intentionally. You miss it deliberately, or you miss it because somebody misled you. That's happening in a lot of places. There's a whole lot of foolishness going on out there in the name of religion, and sometimes in the name of Christianity, where people will tell you, yeah, you gotta be, trust Jesus as your Savior, but you must also. That problem's been around since Jesus' day. Paul wrote a whole book about it. It's called the Book of Galatians. And the rest of the New Testament addresses it. But Jesus is everything when it comes to salvation. He is the only Savior there is. Allah can't do it. Buddha can't do it. Confucius can't do it. Mary can't do it. Nor can anybody else. Baptist Church can't do it. Ooh, I thought you was Baptist, head to toe. But Baptist Church can't do it. Baptismal waters ain't going to do it. You can tithe all your money and all your income. That won't do it. You can read this Bible through till you've worn the pages completely out. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Just reading your Bible won't do it. Now, reading your Bible ought to bring conviction and point you to Jesus Christ. But He is the only Savior because He is everything when it comes to salvation. So if you're here and you're not saved, look to Jesus. If you know somebody that's lost, tell them to look to Jesus. Sometimes there have been people over the years, and you lead people to Christ from time to time, and you just wonder. And I've had people say, well, Preacher Lamb saved me. And if I'm within hearing, I said, no, I didn't save you. If you're saved, Jesus saved you. I just showed you the manner. I just showed you the gospel. But somebody uninformed might have heard that and say, well, if you save that guy, can you save me too? Then I have a perfect opportunity to tell them, no, I can't save anybody, but Jesus can. Because He's everything when it comes to salvation. He's everything when it comes to the truth. He is truth. Pilate said, what is truth? And it was standing right there. Truth was standing. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Faithful and true witness. He's everything when it comes to truth. He's everything when it comes to dominion and authority. He's our potentate. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is going to rule and reign. King of the Jews. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's everything when it comes to dominion and authority. My mind just went blank. Okay. Now that aggravates me. All I need is a beginning and I'll be fine, but my mind just completely went zero. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is that what the book says? That's what it says. Every knee shall bow. Who do you bow the knee to? To the King, the one in authority. If you drive down I-75, just south of Chattanooga, and you go through, I think it's Dalton, Georgia. I'm not sure. I don't know if Dave has seen it or anybody. But you drive down I-75, a big billboard on the side of the road. It says, every knee shall bow before Jesus, even the Democrats. It's what it says on the billboard. I didn't put it up there. Yes, I've seen it multiple times. We go up to see Sharon's family and we come back by there. I said, it's still there. Somebody's paying for it. But He is everything when it comes to dominion and authority. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess, because He is everything. He's everything when it comes to judgment. This is the last one, by the way. John 5, the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. We've already talked about the judgment seat of Christ in times past. I'm not going to bring that up. That is the place, the bema seat for the Christian. But when you get to Revelation 19, you see, and chapter 20, excuse me, you'll see that there is a great white throne. And the one seated upon that throne, it's not really given a name. He's not really given a name. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There's found no place for them. But I know because of John 5, the one seated upon the great white throne is Jesus. How do you know that? Because the Father committed all judgment unto the Son. The same Jesus that will be seated upon the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat, who will judge every believer for their service, is also going to be seated upon another throne called the Great White Throne, where He will judge every lost person. And from that throne will condemn every lost person to the lake of fire. It's Jesus that's going to do that. How could the same Jesus go to the cross of Calvary to die for the sins of every man, woman, boy, or girl? How could the same Jesus that is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ judging Christians for their service be the same Jesus that's going to be seated upon the great white throne and casting people into the lake of fire? Because He's God. That's the whole point. Because He's God. And because He's everything. Who was it? There's some illustration about some judge who helped a guy and got him out of a bind. I don't remember things like I wish I did, but he helped a guy. Got him out of the trouble that he was in. But the same guy got in trouble and ended up in court. And when he stood before the judge convicted him, condemned him, sentenced him. He said, "Well, but you helped me before." He said, "Before I could help you, before I was your advocate. Now I'm your judge. You will serve your fine or pay the penalty." See, Jesus is the advocate. He's the propitiation. He's the Savior. And all who will trust Him for what He did on Calvary, death, burial, resurrection, seated at the right hand of the Father, all who will trust Him, He'll save everyone. Why? Because He's everything concerning salvation. But for those that reject that, He will not be their Savior. He'll be their judge. And He'll say, "Depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." We sang that song, "Jesus is all the world to me." There was a reason for that. I wanted us to sing that because Jesus is everything. Let's bow our heads. Father, given what You've laid upon my heart and just briefly touched on some subjects after having read the description, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, first and last, faithful and true, King of kings and Lord of lords, everything. May Jesus be everything in our lives. And if somebody here is unsaved, may they realize their need. May He become their Savior this morning. And for all of us that are saved, may Jesus be everything. In His name we pray. Turn to 200.